Just before the show started today, I had a chance to talk to 8th Congressional District Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. I was asking him what he thinks about what's happening in Ukraine and what he's thinking about U.S. sanctions.
Well, I think what has happened is just a savage act of war crimes. And I think that what we saw out of Bucha and other places is basically atrocities that have to be held to account. And so I'm very supportive of the additional imposition of sanctions, but we probably have to do more, John. Unfortunately, Vladimir Putin, person after person who has studied the man, tells us that he respects nothing but force. And so we have to assist even more the Ukrainians on the battlefield to make sure that they drive the Russians either out of Ukraine or to the bargaining table, you know, with an advantage to the Ukrainians.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that means. I mean, one advantage to the Ukrainians would be that Russia leaves entirely. Another advantage to the Ukrainians would be that some cities or areas in Ukraine is ceded over to Russia. But I don't think there's an appetite for that in Ukraine or anywhere else in the world right now.
I think that's generally right, although obviously it's entirely for the Ukrainians to decide on their own. The only thing that I would say is I think we have to escalate our armament shipments to the Ukrainians now. I think that they are displaying incredible tenacity and courage on the battlefield. And we have done, I have to say, the Biden administration and the Western alliance has done an excellent job of supplying the Ukrainians with, for instance, those Javelin anti-tank missiles, which have made an incredible difference on the battlefield. We have to do that, but we also have to facilitate the shipment of fighter planes and tanks now, Soviet-era tanks that the Zelensky government wants in order to wage battle, especially in the Donbass region and in the southeast.
I'm a little surprised, even frustrated at times, when I hear about a new wave of sanctions, because it makes me wonder why we didn't implement these even sooner. Something as trivial as freezing the assets of Putin's daughters, whatever that means. I mean, that seems petty, but I'll take whatever we got. Why are we waiting to institute some of these things?
I think that part of the issue here, John, is I think that the Biden administration is working in concert with the allies. And I think that together they are trying to impose sanctions in a multilateral fashion to make sure that the Russians don't play each country off of each other. All that being said, I think these sanctions are good. They are having an impact, but man, I don't think anything is more vital than those military shipments right now. I think that, as I said before, and as people have told me, you know, Vladimir Putin views kind of economic sanctions maybe as kind of a little bit of a weak move. But he views those military shipments and what happened on the battlefield with great seriousness. And the losses that the Russians have suffered on the battlefield have been staggering, upwards of 10 to 15,000 Russians, KIA, killed in action in 5 weeks. Just as a point of reference, over 20 years in Afghanistan, the U.S. military lost 2,500 men and women, which is a horrible toll. But what the Russians have suffered on the battlefield is unprecedented in modern times.
The German intelligence agency was able to decipher some of the communications between Russian commanders and some of the men on the front line, and it was discussions about murdering the civilians, maybe as a way of intimidating the rest of the Ukrainian population. It's just chilling stuff. Are you surprised by the ruthlessness of the Russian forces?
I think they reflect Vladimir Putin, ultimately. And so in that regard, I'm not surprised. However, what has been surprising all along has been the fact that their communications have been so transparent, and that we've been able to, you know, basically pick up on a lot of these over time. In this particular instance, they're rather chilling, and I'm glad that the Germans were able to pick it up, and it adds to the historical record. And then in other instances, we've used those communications to or the Ukrainians have been able to take advantage of it on the battlefield. And that goes to a larger point that the execution of this war by Vladimir Putin has been a huge strategic blunder.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, every day it seems to just reinforce that point. And yet it also seems to be a point that he's willing to bear, right? Like, okay, so you're going on a month now of this, the slaughter of these cities and people and devastating losses on the Russian side. We haven't even talked about the armaments that they've lost, the helicopters, the tanks, the armored personnel carriers, the airplanes. It's in the several hundreds in those cases. And Putin just seems to be willing to bear it, doesn't he? That's the rock and the hard place.
It is. I think that the Ukrainians have been able to redirect him in a lot of ways away from his plan A, which was to, you know, decapitate the government, take Kyiv, and basically, you know, battle them into submission. Now, of course, the fighting shifts to the east and the southeast. And I think the Ukrainians are able to show that they are also very good battlefield tacticians and strategists. And we just have to fuel them, John. We have to make sure that they have what it takes to, you know, make this gamble really fail in a big way for Putin. That's what it's boiled down to, John. You're absolutely right. He doubles down and he triples down. And now we have to bring him to his knees.
So your message today as a member of the Congress is that we need to continue to not only issue sanctions, but more importantly now, supply them with all the armaments they need. Is that it, Raja?
That's exactly right. And one last point I'd make is that, you know, we are going, interestingly, we're going into a warmer temperature season, even in Europe. And so I think that the Europeans should start to look at sanctions with regard to energy. They are very reluctant on that score. And we get it. We understand that nobody wants people to not have heating of their homes. But on the other hand, you know, going into this warmer temperature season, there might be other levers to pull, especially on those energy sanctions, which, you know, could be even more painful for Putin than the previous sanctions.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate that point. I saw a statistic yesterday that since the beginning of the war in Ukraine, the European Union has purchased $38 billion of oil or fuel from Russia. The European Union is still purchasing billions of dollars of fuel or energy from Russia. And it's easy for us to say, well, my goodness, you have to cut that off. But when we've seen gas go up a dollar a gallon or 50 cents a gallon in the United States, we're ready to throw Joe Biden out of office. My point being that we are a lot less patient about it here, maybe, than we're asking the European Union to be. We're asking them to make an even greater sacrifice financially, say, or with their lives, the way they heat their homes or the food they get and the cost of all of that. I think we're asking a lot from the European Union when we ourselves seem to be very aware of the sacrifices that we're making here.
Right. I think that in that regard, I do have to salute the leadership of the president and his ability to muster the will among these Europeans who, you know, it's a very disparate group, John. They're not like a monolithic group of people. But I think everybody's seen the horror of what Vladimir Putin is doing. And I think that they are each kind of trying to do whatever they can to help the Ukrainians both on the battlefield, but also to, you know, impose those sanctions, which do have a cost for their own economies, too.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy. Okay, Congressman, always a pleasure to hear
you. Sir.
Keep doing what you're doing, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
It's Congressman Raja. We talked to him just before the show to reinforce that point. This is from the New York Times. It's 2 days old. I've since seen higher numbers, but just as an example, the losses, according to independent people that are watching the war on the Russian side, 2,452 armored vehicles, 425 tanks, 186 pieces of artillery, 20 planes, 38 helicopters. The Russians have lost, and actually, we've all seen numbers higher than that, but that's at least one estimate of the losses the Ukrainians are inflicting on the Russian army.